the pride of both the worlds. From east to west, his praises soar. The pride of both worlds forevermore. The pride of both the worlds. The pride of both the worlds.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madrin Channel, welcome once again to our second episode of The Pride of Both Worlds. Insha'Allah, today is a beautiful topic in regards to our Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his youth. So the youth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a beautiful topic has been given. And we have our special guest, alhamdulillah, our Ustad, Hafiz Muhammad Kaleem Al-Madani, Hafizahullah, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Insha'Allah, we will listen to the words of wisdom as well. So before we begin our topic, let us hear some virtues of sending salawat upon the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, has said that the one who recites 80 times Durood Sharif upon me on the day of Friday, 80 years of his sins will be forgiven. Sallu alal Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Dear viewers of Madri Channel, when the childhood of the beloved and blessed Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, came to an end, and the years of his blessed youth commenced, the years of his youth were as unparalleled in comparison to normal people as his childhood. Even before the announcement of prophethood, the entire life of the beloved and blessed Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is a treasure trove of understanding characters and mannerisms. He sallallahu alayhi wasallam arrived at such a lofty station in every pious attribute and positive manner, such as truthfulness, reliability, loyalty, keeping promises, respecting elders, showing compassion to youngers, loving relatives, mercy and generosity, public service, accompanying friends, consoling the near and the dearer, assisting the poor and needy, behaving well with enemies and serving the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see, all of this list is only limited. But if we wanted to continue, there are many, many other attributes and characteristics of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that he sallallahu alayhi wasallam had during his youth. So inshallah, let us begin. You see, before Islam, the Arabs remained in a state of war. Countless Arab families were destroyed as a result of these continual conflicts. The peace and stability of the land was destroyed as a result of all-round conflict and daily criminality. And no one considered his life or property to be secure. There was no peace to be found by day, no rest to be found by night. Concerned by these terrorized surroundings, some individuals seeking reconciliation established a movement for reform. As a result, the main leaders of Banu Hashim, the Banu Zuhra, Banu Asad, and other tribes of the Quraysh gathered at the house of Abdullah bin Jud'an. The uncle of the beloved Rasul, Sayyidina Zubayr bin Abdul Muttalib, suggested that an agreement was the solution to rectify the current situation. Thus, the tribes of Quraysh adopted an agreement along the lines of live and let live, and promised under oath that they would end the unrest in the land, protect travelers, assist the poor, support the oppressed, and not permit any oppressor to reside in Makkah. As several members of this agreement were called Fadl, the agreement in itself was called Hilful Fudul, meaning the agreement of several people named Fadl. The beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was also present in this agreement. The agreement was so beloved to him that after the proclamation of prophethood, after he announced prophethood, he sallallahu alayhi wasallam would say, "This agreement pleased me to such an extent that if I were given red colored camels in its place, I would not have been pleased to the same extent." No. Today, even in Islam, if an oppressed person called out to me for assistance, I am ready to assist him. Subhanallah. Imagine If we compare our youthful life to the youth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then there is no comparison. You can't compare. But you see, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, during his youth, he was present in an agreement where the tribes of Makkah came together and they agreed that they will remove all the restlessness and the criminality which was occurring in the lands of Makkah. And during the youth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he sallallahu alayhi wasallam was also part of this agreement. And remember, in this agreement, there were great members, there were big people, trustworthy people, people who are reliable, you know, people who spoke the truth, etc. And this is why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was also present in this agreement as well. Why? Because these individuals, the tribes of Makkah, knew that this individual in his youth, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was considered Amin. In his youth, he sallallahu alayhi wasallam was considered Sadiqul Masduq. In his youth, he sallallahu alayhi wasallam possessed these characteristics. So if you were to see the state of our youth nowadays, Allahu Akbar, you know, these type of characteristics, I mean, we have been taught that we should try to follow the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. You see, the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he had these characteristics. Why? Because he was the chosen messenger. He was the chosen one. And all we can do is try to follow his footsteps. But we need to compare and see the way our youth is and the way the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam lived his youth. You see, even in his youth, he was known as truthful, reliable. He had loyalty, keeping promises, respecting elders, showing compassion to youngers, loving relatives, mercy and generosity, etc., etc. How many of these characteristics exist within our youth in today's society? You know, as to parents as well, I would like to mention, so the viewers of Madhi channel, if there's parents watching this silsila, it's a message for the parents as well, that our children, if they are in their youth, teen era, or if they are 20s or below 30s, etc., if they're in their youth, what type of tarbiyat have we given to our children so that in their youth, are they adopting into having these type of characteristics? Are people trusting them? Are they truthful? Are they trustworthy? Are they reliable? You know, do they show respect to the elders? Do they show compassion to the younger ones or not? If they are not, then that is something that we need to install into our youth. We need to show and teach our youth what the youth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was like. So I'd like to move to our startup to further expand on this topic, inshallah.
SubhanAllah, the account that you mentioned, Ahmad Bhai, regarding Hilful Fudul. Now, if you just look at that account for a moment, you have all the chiefs and the leaders of the tribes ready for that meeting. And they've been at war for a long time, of course. Now, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam being a part of that meeting shows you how highly they valued him. Because they wouldn't just allow anybody to come and sit with them. He wasn't one of the famous leaders of the tribes. He wasn't, obviously for us, he is the pride of both worlds. He is the master of all creation, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But in the context of the story, as mentioned in Sirah, he wasn't one of the active leaders of the tribe. But him being there, and him being allowed to be there, shows us that Allah Ta'ala has blessed his beloved sallallahu alayhi wasallam with intelligence like none other. And when he gave his mashwaras, no doubt they accepted it. Anything he said, they gave value to it. So this shows us that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his youth was distinctive in that he had a perfect level of intellect. Here, what happens in our society is you go through school, college, university, you get a few titles, and then maybe someone considers you as worthy of having that rank. Someone may give you a podium. If you don't have titles, they won't even consider you anything. But here, the Prophet ﷺ is still young, and they're giving him that seat of honor. And when we study the books of Fada'il in relation to the qualities of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we do find many narrations regarding the hikmah, the wisdom, the intelligence, the knowledge of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For example, in Hilyatul Awliya, there's a narration wherein the great Tabi'i saint, Sayyiduna Wahab bin Munabbih, rahmatullahi ta'ala, he says, I read 71 heavenly revelations. So he was an alim of the previous scriptures as well. A very knowledgeable person himself. He says, I read 71 heavenly revelations. And in every one, I found the following written. The total intellect granted to all people from the beginning of creation to the end of the world is such in comparison to the intellect of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like a single atom is to all the deserts of the earth. Imagine how many deserts are there in the dunya. Countless. And then how many grains of sand are there in those deserts? You can't even count them. So he's saying on one side, the entire creation's knowledge and intellect is like a grain, an atom. And all the deserts of the world, this is how he's described the knowledge and intellect of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Now, based on this, we know that our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's decisions, the suggestions he gave, they were the greatest decisions and the greatest level of suggestions as well. So that's the first thing we learn from this, Hilful Fudul. The second thing, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did he say? He said, this agreement pleased me to such an extent that if I were given a red colored camel in its place, I would not have been pleased to the same extent. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would take pride in this pact. Even later in his life as well, he would speak about this. What does that show us? That he was very mindful of helping the oppressed. Because if you look at the context and why this pact came into being, Hilful Fudul, is because the rights of people, they wanted to protect them, right? So innocent people are not oppressed. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood for that. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam throughout his life told people to aid the oppressed, support the oppressed, not the oppressor. Today, unfortunately, people support the oppressor. He's got money, he's got status, he may give me some of that money, he may make me one of his right-hand men, he may give me protocol, he may give me status, na'udhu billah. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't stand for that. He stood for helping the oppressed. So in one narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, whosoever responds to the plea of an oppressed person, Allah Azza wa Jal will write 73 counts of forgiveness for him. 73. By means of one of these counts, all of his affairs will be rectified, and the other 72 will cause his rank to be raised on the day of judgment. That's one hadith, Shu'ab al-Iman. In another hadith, which is in Hilyatul Awliya, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever goes with an oppressed person to assist him, Allah Azza wa Jal will grant him a firm footing on the day when feet will slip, meaning the day of judgment. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood for helping the oppressed, helping those who are in difficulty. That's another thing we learned from the Hilful Fudul. And this was something he did from the off. It wasn't the case that once he announces his prophethood, only then he started to help people. He was known right from the beginning as helping the poor, helping the widows, helping those who were oppressed. These qualities, the Quraysh knew this about him. Even those who rejected him, which was their own ill fate, they didn't reject him because he didn't have good qualities. They rejected because that wasn't their nasib, right? But they could not even lay a finger on the character or the mannerisms of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well. So the third thing we learn from this Hilful Fudul, which took place in the youth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam always involved himself in acts which would bring social reform, which would better society. You will never find that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was involved in anything that, na'udhu billah, negatively impacted society. He was always involved in those things that would uplift society, empower society, inspire society. So when we compare that to ourselves today, how many, you could say, how many initiatives are we involved in? for the same reason, to uplift the people in society, to reform society. Let's just take, for example, two people fighting, quarreling and arguing. We will pull our phone out, we'll record it, we'll post it on social media for views, but we won't
stop it.
Make the effort to go and say, brothers, many times when it's two Muslims, we won't say, brothers, you're Muslims. You have a stronger relationship. Iman is the strongest relationship. You are ummatis of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Calm things down, de-escalate things, right? But we're not doing that. Why? Because we don't get views for that. We get views for showing people fighting. Na'udhu billah, we get views for seeing people angry. We get views for seeing fights. So when people see fights, we get views, we get paid. That's what people are doing today. So we have to ask ourselves, our claim that we are true lovers of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how true is this? Is it just a slogan? Is it just a nara that we shout? But in our actions, we don't see anything like that. So how can we, even for a moment, encourage Muslims to fight? How can we encourage Muslims and people to break relationships, sever relationships? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did the opposite. We know from this Hilful Fudul that he loved it when people were given their rights. He loved it when problems were solved, and he disliked for problems to continue and boil over. So these are just a few things that I wanted to mention in regards to Hilful Fudul that you mentioned right at the beginning. And this was all before announcement of prophethood. It's part of the youth, you could say the adolescence of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his young adulthood as well. But his character was impeccable. No blemish, no flaw, no defect. His character was pure. And when he invited people to Islam, this is what helped him, because his character was so pure. Today, we may invite someone, we may say something good to someone, and they don't listen, say he's a bad person. That may be the case, Allah knows best. But what about us? What if we're bad as well, and that's why our words are not having the effect? Why don't we follow the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, purify our character, and then when we invite someone, inshallah al-kareem, those words will have effect as well. So we need to model our lives, whether it's the childhood of our children, because we can't live our childhood again. The youth, old, middle-aged, old age, in every aspect of our lives, we need to model the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as described in the seerah. Inshallah, we will find the blessings of that manifest in our lives.
Subhanallah. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said to value five things before five, and one of them was to value your youth before old age. So you see, dear viewers of Madani Channel, today's topic is in regards to the youth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So as we are discussing the youth of Rasulullah, just for this example, this one waqi'ah that was mentioned in regards to the Hilful Fudul, how great members of the tribes were present there, and how they added the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this agreement as well. And it was because of his characteristics. Why? Because he was known to be trustworthy, truthful, and all these characteristics that have been mentioned. You know, like Ustaz Sahib has already mentioned, that we claim to be lovers of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but our actions show otherwise. If we truly loved the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then we should try to adopt those actions that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam done during his youth. So how he was truthful, and like Ustaz mentioned, when somebody is fighting nowadays, instead of stopping it, we pull our mobile phone out to record it, to post it on social media, just to get a few views. But how the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was like, he will want to help somebody, somebody who's in need of help, somebody who's being oppressed, he would help that individual. He will remove that oppression from them. But nowadays, what happens is that we don't stop anything. If there's oppression going on, we don't stop it. If there's harmful actions going against someone, we don't stop it. Rather, we're there to see the drama. So this is something for the viewers of Madani Channel that we need to take into account. And we need to adopt these characteristics in our lives as well. If we can adopt these characteristics into our lives, then that will make us following the sunnah of Rasulullah and following the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, when the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam was around 25 years old, people far and wide were all aware of his trustworthiness. Remember this, at the only of age of 25. Him sallallahu alaihi wasallam was known for his trustworthiness and his truthfulness. Umm al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidatuna Khadijatul Kubra radiyallahu ta'ala anha, was a very wealthy lady of Makkah whose husband has passed away. She was in need of a trustworthy individual with whom she could send her goods for trading to Syria. Thus, she selected the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam and sent him with the agreement that whatever share I give to others, I will give you double due to your trustworthiness and diligence. The beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam accepted her offer and departed for Syria with her goods for trade. She also sent one of her trusted servants, Maysara, to accompany the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam on this journey so that he might serve him. When the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam reached the marketplace of the famous city of Syria called Basra, he stopped close to the monastery of the monk Nastura. Nastura knew Maysara from before, and upon seeing the countenance of the beloved and blessed Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he came to Maysara and asked, "Maysara, who is that who has dismounted beneath the tree?" Maysara replied, "He is a resident of Makkah and the pride and joy of Banu Hashim tribe. His name is Muhammad and his title is Amin." Nastura said, "Until today, no one has dismounted beneath this tree except a Rasul. For this reason, I have total confidence that he is the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam of the final times. For all the signs of the final Nabi I read in the Tawrat and Injil, I can see all of them in him sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If only I remain alive until he announces his prophethood, then I too would help him in every way possible. And I would sacrifice myself to spend every moment in his service. O Maysara, I advise you to remain alert. Do not become separated from him for even a minute, and serve him with true sincerity and devotion. For Allah Azza wa Jal has granted him the nobility of being the seal of all the Rasuls." Subhanallah. The beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam sold all the goods in Basra's marketplace and returned to Al-Makkah Al-Mukarramah. Upon their return, as the caravan entered the city of Makkah, Sayyidatuna Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha was sat upon a high place watching the caravan arrive. When she looked at the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, she saw that two angels were shadowing his blessed head from the sun rays. This illuminated scene particularly impressed Sayyidatuna Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, and she continued to gaze upon this wondrous scene. Some days later, she mentioned this to her servant Maysara, who replied, "I saw this scene occur throughout the entire journey, and I also witnessed many wondrous things besides." Maysara then mentioned his conversation with the monk Nastura and his affection and devotion. Hearing this, Sayyidatuna Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha became keen to marry him. You see, Sayyidatuna Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha was an extremely modest woman. Due to her chastity, people of Makkah used to call her Tahira, meaning chaste. Leaders of Quraysh desired to marry her, but she refused marriage proposals for all of them. But after looking at the character and blessed acts of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and after listening to the astonishing events of the Holy Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, a desire arose in her heart to marry the Holy Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Therefore, she radiallahu ta'ala anha called the paternal aunt of the Holy Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Sayyidatuna Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha, and inquired further from her regarding some of the personal circumstances of the Holy Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Then she sent the marriage proposal herself to the Holy Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam through Sayyidatuna Nafisa bint Umayya. The famous historian on the seerah, Sayyidina Imam Ibn Ishaq, writes that Sayyidina Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, she mentioned the following reason to the Holy Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam for this marriage proposal, which is that I liked you because of your good character and due to your truthfulness. So from this entire waqi'ah of the hijrat from Makkah to Syria just to sell goods in the marketplace, from this, only at the age of 25, subhanallah, him sallallahu alayhi wasallam was known for his truthfulness and his trustworthiness. And because of his trustworthiness, because of his sallallahu alayhi wasallam's character, that monk was able to recognize the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. You see, likewise, Hazrat Sayyidina Abdullah bin Salam radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, before he accepted Islam, he was a great scholar of the Jews. He was a Jewish scholar and he had thoroughly read the Tawrat. And in the Tawrat, he had read the description of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam came to Al-Madinatul Munawwara, Hazrat Sayyidina Abdullah bin Salam radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, before he accepted Islam, he found out and he decided that, you know what, I'm going to visit him and I want to see that, is that description which is mentioned in the Tawrat in regards to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is it true or not? He said that he went and there was a big gathering ready to see the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said that when I laid my eyes on him, when I analyzed his blessed face, when I analyzed his blessed head, when I analyzed his blessed hair, his blessed hands, his blessed feet, his blessed posture, he said, when I analyzed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said that I recognized and I came to the conclusion that this face cannot be the face of any liar. Rather, this is the face of a true Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at that time, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Salam radiyallahu ta'ala an, just by looking at the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he accepted Islam. Just like this, the monk, he looked at the description of Rasulullah that he read in the blessed Tawrat of that time, and he came to the conclusion that he is the true Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. This is how we should be, that people recognize us through our character. People like us through our character. People want to be with us through our character. We shouldn't be one of those that people want to be with us because of our fame. People want to be with us because of our money. People want to be with us for worldly things. No. But it should be our character that should attract people towards us. I would like to move to Ustaz for his last few words, and inshallah, we will conclude after that.
Alhamdulillah, we've been hearing about the blessed youth of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we know that it was immaculate. Why wouldn't this be the case? The Quran itself describes the character of the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. And O beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, indeed you are upon lofty character, great character. Now who is saying this? Allah Rahman, Allah the Almighty, the Most Merciful, is describing the character of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today, if someone with a bit of status and rank describes another individual as having good character, then that person considers this a source of pride, a great achievement that so-and-so has recognized my good character. But here, without comparison, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, who is the Khaliq, who is the creator, he, Azza wa Jal, is describing the character of his beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he's telling us, Rabb tabaraka wa ta'ala is telling us that from all of creation, this beloved of mine, he has the best character. He has the loftiest character. He has the most virtuous character. And that manifested throughout his blessed life, and of course, in particular, throughout his youth as well. Because this was that time where he laid the foundations for what to come afterwards. This was the time when he laid the foundation for what was to come afterwards. When people were going to reject his message, they could never reject it based upon his character. They would reject it because of their ittiba of their elders, not letting go of false ideologies and beliefs. But they could never reject the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam due to his blessed character. As you mentioned, Abdullah bin Salam radiyallahu ta'ala and other great companions, all it took for them was to see the face of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They said, this cannot be the face of a liar. This cannot be the face of someone who has just made this religion up. So subhanAllah, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reached the age of 35, another interesting, amazing incident occurred. During that time, whenever it would rain heavily, water would flow from the mountains of Makkah into the vicinity of the Haram where Kaaba al-Musharrafah is. And there, the Kaaba, even though things were put in place like dams and other things to act as obstacles, even then the Kaaba would become flooded and damaged. So it had to be reconstructed. So this time the people agreed that we're going to raise the door of the Kaaba. We're going to put other things into place so that the Kaaba is not affected in future as well. During this reconstruction, subhanAllah, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was also involved. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his blessed hands also partook in the reconstruction of the Kaaba. And this time the Kaaba was given a roof as well. Now, the construction work began collectively. And alhamdulillah, the Prophet alayhi wa sallam carried stones and he also took part in the construction. Now, when the construction was completed, there was only one thing left. And that is, who will place Al-Hajar al-Aswad in the Kaaba?
Allah.
We know it's affixed in the Kaaba, right? And when we do tawaf, we do istilam, we try and kiss it. Who's going to do that? Now, the tribes who were involved, they were very fearsome, very competitive tribes. Obviously, everybody wanted this honor, this i'zaz, this privilege that we are going to place Al-Hajj al-Aswad in the Kaaba. But disagreement occurred because every tribe wanted this honor to the extent that they drew their swords.
Allah.
And we know about the Arabs of the time. Yeah. They would go to war for the smallest of reasons. But this was considered for them a big reason, that you're not going to allow me to put Al-Hajj al-Aswad back in its place. They drew their swords for 4 days, this quarrel, this dispute. And it's about to boil over. Bloodshed is about to occur. When one person, an elderly person, who's a wise person, he suggested, look, this is what we'll do. Tomorrow morning, whoever is the first to enter Al-Haram al-Makki, that person will be the leader. He's going to be a leader. And he'll decide what to do. And look at the qudra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next morning, after everyone accepted this suggestion, the next morning, the first person to enter Masjid al-Haram was who? None other than our beloved Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was the first to enter by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When they saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they rejoiced. And they all said, by Allah, he is Amin. He is honest. So they happily accepted him as the leader. Whatever he decides goes. Now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could have said, look, you accepted me as a leader. I'm just going to pick up Al-Hajj al-Aswad and I'm going to place it back in the Kaaba. They would have agreed. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's intelligence and wisdom is on another level. He didn't do that. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, choose a leader from amongst yourself, from your tribes, one person. Then he spread out his blessed shawl. Hajj al-Aswad was placed on that. And he said, the different tribes, you will have the honor of holding this shawl from the corners, from the edges. We will go towards the Kaaba. He picked up the blessed stone with his own merciful, sacred hands and affixed it back in the Kaaba. What did this result in? That bloodshed which was about to occur, which was imminent, was about to happen. All of a sudden, that was thwarted.
Allah.
All of a sudden, there was an end to that. This was the firasa, the hikmah, the intelligence, the knowledge of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And remember, this is before he announced his prophethood. So nobody can say anything regarding his life before he announced prophethood, that he had this character issue or that character issue. No, nothing like it. Everyone accepted him. Mm-hmm. And this account, which is mentioned in Sirah Ibn Hisham, it mentions that bloodshed that would have taken place, bihamdillahi ta'ala, this issue was resolved in a beautiful, ahsan manner.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because of the hikmah, the knowledge that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam possessed. And they all accepted him as the leader as well. If they had some issues with him, if they did not like certain qualities of his, they would have said, we don't agree with this proposal. But the fact that they all accepted it, and when they saw him enter as the first person, and they called him Amin, shows that they knew this was the best person in that community.
Allah.
He was the best amongst them. This was his youth. This is before his announcement of prophethood. He was about 35 years of age when this incident happened. Therefore, we learn that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the best example, not only after he announces prophethood, but before prophethood as well. His childhood is the best example for children. His youth is the best example for youth. Middle age, elderly age, that's the best example. So in every part of his life, he has set the best example.
SubhanAllah.
Today we have to ask ourselves, are we following that example?
Hmm.
Do we have the jazbah? Do we have the knowledge? Do we have a combination of all these things that we require to follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Or is it the case that we're wasting our childhood, wasting our youth, wasting our middle age, and there's no resemblance? So we need to develop truthfulness. We need to develop trustworthiness. We need people to consider us as good people through our actions. We don't do it for the people, but the benefit of being good is that people will acknowledge you as good anyhow. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran as well, that إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ سَيَجْعَلُوا لَهُمُ الرَّحْمَنُ وُدًّا. Indeed, those who believed and did righteous actions, soon Allah will place, Rahman will place their love in the hearts of people.
SubhanAllah.
Their love will automatically transfer to the hearts of people. But the condition is what? Iman and righteous actions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to follow in the footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
MashaAllah, subhanAllah, a beautiful waqi'a that Ustaz have mentioned in regards to the Kaaba's reconstruction and how the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was chosen due to his trustworthiness and his truthfulness. SubhanAllah, you know, this is how a youngster or a youth should be, that a true young devotee of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should be a real lover of Allah and his beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A true young devotee of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam should love the Sahaba, the Ahlul Bayt, the Athar, and the saints of Islam. A true young devotee should be regular in 5 times Salah, offering it with Jamaat in the Masjid in the first row. This is how our youth should be, that they should be regular in observing the fast of Ramadan and be a strict follower of Faraid and Wajibat. A youngster should protect his eyes, his ears, and tongue from sinful actions, and should abstain from movies, dramas, etc. A young individual should abstain from useless acts and sinful usage of mobile and internet. A young person should avoid the company of bad people. A young person should avoid all types of intoxications. A young individual should be an abundant reciter of salawat and salam upon the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. A young individual should be a propagator of calling towards righteousness and preventer from evil. A young individual should abstain from all deeds leading to hell. A young individual should act upon the deeds leading to paradise. You see, a lot of the times when youngsters believe that when I reach a certain age, when I grow older, I'm going to go to the masjid then and I'm going to read namaz. When I reach a certain age, right now I'm in my youth, let me enjoy my youth. There's a narration that the repenting youth is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than an elder individual who repents in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the reason for this is because when a person is in his prime age, in his young age, he's able to do many things. But if he abstains from those bad actions, even though he had the ability to, but because of the taqwa, the piety, and the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala within that individual's heart, he refrains from these actions. This is why the youthful repenter is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than an elderly person who repents in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like our ustaz mentioned, the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the childhood, the youth age, and then the elder age of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, throughout, it is an example for all of us. We can teach our children by reading the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We can teach our children how to live the childhood. We can teach our youth how to live the youth by reading the seerah. And we can teach our elders how to live their life by teaching the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a lesson for us. We need to take the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a prime example, and we need to follow the footsteps and follow his sunnah. You know, this is why we say study the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. By studying his seerah, we'll be able to understand how the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam lived his life. And like Ustaz mentioned, all of these actions were before the announcement of prophethood. You see, this matter of placing the Hajarul Aswad back into the Kaaba, Allahu Akbar. 4 days, the tribes could not come to an agreement. But when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam came, the tribes decided for him sallallahu alayhi wasallam to place it. But then the Messenger of Allah had a better idea, and he made all the tribes to participate in placing the Hajarul Aswad back into the Holy Kaaba. Imagine at the age of 35, right? And being used to decide such a great matter. Nowadays, when a great decision is utilized, or when a great decision is being used or is being decided, nobody wants to look at us. Nobody wants to use us. Why? Because we're not on that level. But subhanAllah, the rank of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is such, the status of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is such, that even at the age of 25, even before that, the Hilful Fudul Waqi'ah, the Waqi'ah of the Holy Kaaba, him sallallahu alayhi wasallam was utilized and used in such great agreements. So, dear viewers of Madani Channel, it is a humble request that we study the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So that we can attain Jannah in the hereafter. If we follow the footsteps and if we study the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and if we actually study his seerah and end up following his footsteps and his sunnah, then no doubt our abode in the hereafter will be Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give each and every single one of us the ability to study the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Ameen. Bijahi an-Nabi al-Ameen sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam.
The pride of both the worlds, from east to west, his praises soar. The pride of both worlds forevermore. The pride of both the worlds. The pride of both the worlds.